Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Breaking news. Sam Alito saying, no, I'm not going to recuse myself. Are you kidding me? From the January 6th cases, it was my wife and she refused to take the flag down. Dan, I could see with Roe, she wants that flag up there. That's trouble to take it down. Of course, Judge Mershon, the media doesn't think he should recuse himself, given his daughter brought in, what, $93 million for Democrats, head of digital for all kinds of big Democrat senators. He doesn't have any stake in this game. All right, a guy who is just incredible, including Danny's kind of quirky. I'm doing a national show again tonight, and I had the producers of the show saying Dom's filling in. He thought they were Democrats, though, and apparently refused to answer.
I love that. That is amazing.
He's not going to be annoyed. He's too busy out there turning Bucks County red. And there's another update on this. We got to start to be thinking about how are we going to celebrate if, say, sometime in August, we have one more registrant in Bucks County that's a Republican than the Democrats. All right, let's go to Scott Presler, I think was in Chicago the last I checked. Hey, Scott, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Don. Thank you.
So, Scott, the numbers this week that you reported on Twitter today, going from 1496 down in registration in Bucks to only 1222, that's a big, big uptick in the weekly numbers. What's happening?
Yeah, this is huge. So we had our primary in Pennsylvania on April 23rd. And, you know, that's when we're a closed primary state, so people have to be registered with a party to vote in the primary. And that's when we had presidential, we had congressional elections, state, et cetera. So really, after April 23rd, there's no real reason to register with a party because the next election is November, unless, of course, you're preparing for next year. And so I was expecting, you know, perhaps some of these Bucks County numbers, maybe Democrats had registered as a Republican so they could vote in our primary. That happens from time to time. And so I thought maybe that number might go up again and we might see more Democrats registering in Bucks. But that wasn't the case. In fact, I want to read you, because I get a weekly report. It comes out on every single Monday. And here's what happened in the last 7 days in Bucks County. 33 Republicans switched to Democrat. Those are probably Democrats that switched to Republican for the primary. And 49 no party affiliated switched to Democrat. But listen to this. At the same time, 120 Democrats flipped to Republican in Bucks County. And furthermore, 85 no party affiliated, otherwise known as independents, switch to Republican. And then statewide, here's, it's very fascinating. 724 Democrats switched, 724 Republicans switched to Democrat. So again, those are probably maybe Nikki Haley supporters or, you know, people that wanted to switch to Republican to vote in our primary. But at the same time, 1,800 Democrats switched to Republican. So there is something going on here in Pennsylvania. And I will tell you that we've been doing a targeted campaign reaching out to the Jewish community across Pennsylvania and especially Bucks County. And we've been reaching out not only to independent voters, but also registered Democrats. And we have a wonderful cadre of people across the country that are writing postcards, handwritten postcards into Bucks County from California and from all over. And I do believe that that is making an impact and why we're seeing the numbers play out like they are.
Scott couldn't agree more. And the genius of having these people in these states where there's no shot, you're wasting your time, you know, California to flip that, maybe New York, but not California, that they can have impact. You've empowered them in this idea, and then you've inspired them to do a lot more of it. We talked about this woman that wrote 780 some of those, and tonight you're going to be on a national show with me. I know you've done a lot of national shows, but
yes.
I don't think this audience knows enough about how you got started with the cleanup campaign and what you've morphed into now with this. That is just, and I think the skill that is just breeds through you is the goodness of what you want for the country, but you're an incrementalist. Too many people think you just do this overnight. It's the incremental battle. You inspire people to see that. So based on these projections, maybe Bucks County flips. We're hoping in August. We got another reason to celebrate then.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to see y'all on June 21st for your annual party down in Wildwood, New Jersey, and I will be there. And maybe if it even flips by then, oh my gosh, if it flips by then, you'll see
well,
a very wild
that's shot. What I'm telling you. We need people to work extremely hard. I'm telling you, Johnny Z will open up another outlet there. We're going to, Scott, the people that want to come and meet you, it is incredible. Really, you've inspired people to just think, how does this, well, I saw it in Harrogate, the border of Kensington, with that lady from the main line asking you questions, coming into one of the roughest areas on the East Coast. It is tremendous.
Thank you. Well, and, you know, I made Democrats really happy this last week and really sad at the same time because I said I went to jail. And the Democrats got really happy because they probably said they probably thought that I really went to jail, but they don't realize that I went to the DuPage County Jail in Illinois to actually go meet with inmates and talk to them about voting. And one thing that people don't understand in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is if you are a former felon and you are no longer incarcerated, your rights are restored. So if you are listening right now to the Dom Giordano show, and maybe that's your, maybe this story relates to you, slide into my DMs at Scott Pressler on X, and I would love to meet with you personally. I would, wherever it is in Pennsylvania, I'd love to register you to vote. And let's make sure that we're voting to make the state, the Commonwealth, and our country better. And who better than people that have suffered at the hands of the criminal and justice system like President Trump is, where that jury is deliberating right now, who better than to help help make sure that we have a system of justice for all?
Absolutely. Now, where do people go to? You know, we have a lot of people in Jersey and Delaware where it's very difficult for them, but they can influence what goes on here in Pennsylvania, and you direct them to do it. Where do they go, Scott?
Yeah, I really need help. Like, if you're sitting at home right now and you're watching these jury deliberations and you're going, gosh, I feel so helpless. I want to do something. And you're going, but Scott, I live in Delaware. We know how it's going to vote. Or Scott, you know, Jersey's a bit of an uphill battle. What can I do? Please pick up your iPhone, your Android, go to your App Store or your Play Store. And I want you to download, please, Early Vote Action. Early, like you're early to something, vote, V-O-T-E, action. And it's free application. And you're going to be able, from that application, to send text messages to members of the Jewish community or young Democrat males in Pittsburgh with an anti-war, pro-peace message. Or you can even write postcards, go to Wally World, Walmart, pick up some letters. You can write some postcards. I'm only asking for people to do five. Or you can even make phone calls. So literally from the comfort of your home, you can help reach out to voters in Pennsylvania and help save our country using the Early Vote Action application on your phone.
Absolutely. Scott, can hardly wait for the 21st, and you know that. But for listeners, the Barefoot Country event, 40,000 people is there. Sounds like Pressler Country to me. We'll have to nominate it for that.
Oh, gosh. I'm so gosh darn excited. It's going to be awesome.
Scott, thank you. Talk with you tonight.
Thanks, gentlemen.
See Scott you. Scott Pressler here on Talk Radio 1210. Doesn't accept. That sounded like a Democrat call. Oh, my God.
Love that.
So when I texted him 11 seconds later, he's back. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll be on for it. I'll do that tonight. Okay. One little sidebar here, Dan, that I can't resist. This would be a Dan time with Dom that you might throw to me.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a big fan. Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars about the so-called, the name they used, the Negro Leagues then, where Jackie Robinson came through, et cetera. And Major League Baseball's heart is in the right place. But I don't, you know, the statistics that still pretty much hold up are the statistics of baseball. I mean, there have been wild things because of the steroids and the home runs and all that. But, you know, the number of hits you get over the course of your career and all, and baseball vary. These are long-term statistics. What they did is they went back to the Negro Leagues, and they now say, they're saying that Josh Gibson becomes the major league career and season batting leader by incorporating Negro League statistics into the official thing. He's become the career leader in slugging percentage, 718, and OPS, 1,177, moving ahead of Babe Ruth, who was 690 and 1,164. Now, recognizing Josh Gibson, his greatness, to my knowledge, he never played in the major leagues. Satchel Paige did, but God knows how old he was by the time he, I think, with Cleveland, right? That's a good thing. But can you make that guy the career, and I'll tell you where I'm going with this, the career leader in these categories? Don't you think that league was a little bit different than the major leagues? So guess who, under this guise, would be the all-time hits leader? Ichiro.
Huh?
He played in the Japanese leagues.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And I don't know how many hits he had exactly, but it was numerous. And he came relatively close to Pete Rose in Major League Baseball. So should he be the all-time hit leader?
I mean, another example is the ABA. Those
yes.
stats don't count towards NBA totals. When we're talking about historical records in the NBA,
right.
It's a separate league.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was a lesser league. I mean, they incorporated several players into the NBA. But the NBA, as my basketball, I'd say, was better then. So, you know, this idea is just insidious to me. You want to do the right thing by these players, but you can't make them the all-time leader. And there's a reason why some of these sports records are so cherished. You know, Babe Ruth's home run record, for example, and the things that went on around steroids. But just a little aside, just...
I mean, I'd counter, though. The counter-argument would be the AFL.
Right.
Now counts towards NFL statistics.
They definitely should not.
Because
the
so?
AFL just threw the ball all over the place. Yeah, they really did. You look it up. They were throwing some quarterbacks 60 passes a game and all. I don't know how you could. And it was a lesser league. The AFL was not as good as the NFL. They brought in any number of really good players, but it wasn't as good. I think you could put those out there in a special category, but you can't make them the record. As great as Josh Gibson was, I mean, would he have done that in the big? We don't know. Okay. Joe Biden may speak sometimes today. Some, still not there yet, right, Dan?
There's a speaker on stage. I don't know who it is, though.
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll bring you a little bit of it, or we'll bring you the sound. He's at Girard College. But I'm coming to your calls, too. A lot of people lined up. I'm going to respect that. We'll get to your calls
later.
Sorry.
That's okay. But first, it is time for...
Oh, it is.
That's right.
It's Dobbs. Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
That's right. We are playing today for a digital movie code to see In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Liam Neeson plays a retired hitman, Finbar Murphy. I wonder how long they worked on that name. Who finds peace in a quiet Irish town until terrorists force him back into action. From Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Available to buy on rent on digital now, rated R. All right, Dan, what do you have?
A lot of folds to this one today, Dom. Today we're asking a side topic of who's someone that's genuinely loved by everybody. And one of your contributions was the great Fred Rogers, Dom.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling
I don't think anyone can deny inside. That everybody loves Fred Rogers. So I thought maybe we'd take a cover song of Mr. Rogers today. Why not?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And I thought we'll do it, tie it all together. This comes on the day of the cover artist's passing. And the cover artist himself is a genuinely liked individual by the masses as well. Actually winning Best Inspirational Performance in the Grammys 4 times, Dom. And being nominated for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. And actually, one of his songs, one that we're all very familiar with, is in the Grammy Hall of Fame because it's so important to American history, Dom. So today, who is the cover artist here, genuinely liked, who passed away on this day, covering Fred Rogers? Take a listen.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that we're friends.
The way he did this song sounds very similar to his very popular song.
Oh, yeah. Very, very distinctive setup and voice and style. Very distinctive. Who is that?
It's Da Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right. We're approaching on the jury watch about the length of a Springsteen performance for a De Niro film coming up in almost 3 hours. Let's hear the clue today, though, for Dom's Money Melody.
Looking for this cover artist, Dom. Yeah. Take a listen.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside. And when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day.
Let's go to Marilyn in Bridesboro. All right, who's covering that song, Marilyn?
That's B.J. Thomas, my favorite. One of my favorites.
Yes, very distinctive. Wow. Nicely done. Dan, you thought we'd have to give clues, but no way. B.J. Thomas.
Right away. Marilyn, right away. Congratulations. Good. That's awesome.
All right, good stuff. Let's take you over to Girard College, where the vice president of the United States is telling the kids how awful things are before Biden does it. Here's Kamala Harris.
So that medical debt cannot impact a person's ability to get a car loan, an apartment lease, or a home loan. In 2020, we promised to forgive student loan debt.
There we go.
Biden's roaming around like a Roomba in the background. This is great.
Can I get a witness?
Oh, my God. All right.
And I'll tell you, I have a unique position as vice president to spend a lot of time with our president.
It is unique. There's only
and
one of you.
On this subject, I remember sitting in the Oval Office with our president, Joe Biden, shortly after the United States Supreme Court struck down our initial plan to forgive billions of dollars in student loan debt. A different leader, a different kind of leader, would have thrown in the towel. Not Joe Biden. Not Joe Biden.
He doesn't know what a towel is.
And I'm going to tell you what he said that day. This is not over.
Where are the towels?
All right. Thank you very much. All right. This is not over. We're going to continue.
It is over for us. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, their kids here. We'll see what Biden tells them about the country. Lee Zeldin will be here in about seven, 8 minutes. Former congressman ran against Hochul in New York and here to tell us what were the Biden-Harris people are missing today with this pitch at Girard College. All right, let's go to Joe of Exton. Hey, Joe, good afternoon.
Yes, hello, Dom, and happy Cocoa Voo Wednesday to you.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe, do you make that a regularly? Yes. Is that Wednesday night dinner at the Joe of Exton household?
Yeah, come on down.
All right.
One of the most delicious chicken dishes you ever put in your mouth.
So, Dom.
Yes.
My person who is beloved by all is Dawn Stensland of The Dawn Show.
Oh. Yes, very good choice.
She consistently displays an endearing and kind attitude toward other people.
Absolutely,
concur.
Joe.
Yes, 100%.
We concur. Thank you, Joe, very much.
Forgot his theme music.
Yes, that's right, particularly with the Julia Child on the background. All right, the big question, Dom Day is coming together greatly. You heard Scott Presler is going to be honoring the cops that had to face the khaki brigade on the boardwalk there. And great people stopping by. Will Joe Evexton make it to Mulligan's this year, though?
That I hope
is
so.
Big, oh, my
I
God.
Hope so.
Well, I told Rose she'll have him back in that back room there where she usually sits.
Johnny, you happen to have a velvet throne sitting back there that we can place Joe in for the entire show?
Yeah, can you imagine? We come up, we can at least
smoking
have
his pipe.
A king's hat for him, something.
Shakespeare on his lap.
I know, she'll be there, I believe. Joan Cullen here on Talk Radio 12.
Somebody like Keith Olbermann, but everybody else seems to like.
Yeah, that's right. Keith, that's right. That's your pedigree, attacked by Keith Olbermann viciously.
Yes, my badge of honor.
Yes.
Wear it, Joan, wear it.
Yeah.
I do, proudly. How are you guys today?
Good, Joan.
I would greet you with that chicken dish, but I can't pronounce it. Even though I've listened to it while you've played it, I can't.
Do you want to try?
The term I just cannot.
All right, listen to Julia Child here. Here we go.
Kokova.
Okay. Kokova. I guess.
There you go. Pretty close. Yes.
You got it.
Yes.
You got it.
Yes.
All right. Pretty good. So there were so many things. I think Scott Presler, he's a disarming person. That when people get to talking to him, they end up really liking him. So, you know, maybe not nationally yet, but I think he's someone that people will come to love and find to be a warm and caring person.
He is disarming, without a doubt.
Yes. So I wanted to, I know it was a while ago, but that clip from CNBC, I guess, where the guy was explaining that, oh, people are really doing well. They just don't, you know, the country's doing well. They just don't know it. It is insulting that they think that people don't realize what's going on. And I think the reason why people are saying about themselves, I'm okay, is because that's the automatic reply that you give someone when they ask, how are you? You say, oh, I'm doing great. You know, you don't want to dump your problems on other people. You have
pride. Hey, Joe, how are you doing today? I'm $40,000 in debt, and, you know, my dog's sick.
And Joan, but, you know, there's another group of people, too. They're not destitute. They're not being crushed in that manner. But they're having to lower expectations for themselves and their kids. And we don't have any crisis that this should be happening other than Joe Biden causing it. That's the subtle thing that I think people are sensing. Why should I have to pay 50% more for pickle relish? Why?
Right. Yeah. Some of the increases are absolutely outrageous. And then, you know, what's also insidious is that I just saw an X today, someone saying, well, you know, capitalism is supposed to be so great, but look at how much these prices have risen. And of course, it's not because of capitalism, it's because of these horrible policies. But this is how socialists mess with people's minds and convince them that socialism would be better, government control would be better, because, you know, we could have lower prices for everybody, but really, these kind of government control socialist policies are the cause of the thing. And then they turn around and try to make it seem like it's capitalism, which has, you know, gotten more people out of poverty in world history than any other kind of economic system before. So,
absolutely. Joan, thank you. Thanks very much. Congressman Lee Zeldin is next. Ran against Hochul, did very well in New York. Here to talk about the Biden Harris program coming to Girard College, then some black entrepreneurial thing near Girard College. And Biden hasn't spoken yet, but we dip in when we can here.
Oh, he's speaking now.
He
came up.
You can't monitor it, though. Let's just hear, Dan, maybe 30 seconds of this here from President Biden.
Get this
okay.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good. It's good to be.
Quoting Meryl Reese. It's good.
It's good to be almost home. I just live down the road a little bit. Thank you, Kamala, for your partnership. It is a partnership. And how about another round of applause for our great vice president?
Okay. All right. That's enough. We did our due diligence here. We'll see. When he starts running down the country, we'll get to that. But Lee Zeldin is next. And then we have the lightning round. You get in at 855-839-1210 here with Dom and Dan.
If anyone wonders whether their vote matters, remember this. Because Black America voted in 2020, please have a seat if you can. Have a seat.
All right. The racial appeals will start with President Biden. Here on the other side, someone who's very accomplished, former congressman, you see him on Fox a lot, heck of a race for governor in New York, which is really tough. Congressman Lee Zeldin joins us, former congressman on Talk Radio 1210. Congressman, welcome in. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, on you personally, you've been a big Trump surrogate, a heck of a race in New York with Kathy Hochul. I wish she had said what she said about the computer. But also, I mean, you were actually physically attacked during that.
Well, I'll tell you, she did say some loony things during the campaign, stuff like August of 2022, calling on Donald Trump and Lee Zeldin to get on a bus and move down to Florida. And it was a clear statement to Republicans, conservatives in the state that for challenging her, for disagreeing, that we're not welcome in New York. And there's stuff like that going on through the campaign. Nurses put out of a job for a personal decision not to get the COVID vaccine. Talking down to people who, I believe the public service is about serving the public rather than being served by the public. And yet, to your point, we did during the campaign experience at a rally July of 22 while I was campaigning near Rochester. Someone came on stage and had tried to attack me and disrupt the speech. And what was wild was the person who attacked me was actually immediately released on cashless bail within hours in the middle of the night, which is a whole other story. But, listen, we gave it a good run. We came up just short. Fortunately, we're able to get 11 House Republicans elected in the state, six freshmen in districts that Biden won. And it's great not having to deal with a Speaker Pelosi or Speaker Jeffries right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what's going on in New York? I'm not sure if you were there in the South Bronx. I think that was the greatest Trump speech, not going back to 2022, but opportunity, his persona breaking through. The polling is clear with African American and Latino voters. We're seeing that so much so that President Biden and Harris are here in Philadelphia today at the same site, an historic black boarding school, Girard College. Your thoughts, their pitch is America is still discriminatory. What's your thought on it?
Well, I'll tell you, one thought is there's no way they're going to get the crowd and energy that President Trump got in the South Bronx. And what's wild is that in the South Bronx, Joe Biden easily won, crushed the campaign in 2020. Democrats do every election in the Bronx. Because of the voter registration, it's so overwhelmingly Democrat. This should be an area where things are reversed, that somebody like Joe Biden shows up and he's able to fill up a venue and get passion and supporters, not the other way around. But President Trump is, it's right. He's making the correct call to, instead of just speaking to an echo chamber of people who support you most passionately, the people who are most likely to attend your rally and volunteer and support you in different ways, speaking to longtime Democratic voters who are getting burned by Democratic policies, they're disenfranchised by the Democratic Party, and they want to try something new. And the fact is that when these people look back on 4 years of President Trump being in office and compare it to what life's been like under Joe Biden, they say, you know what? My life, I felt safer. I lived life freer. There was more prosperity. And I want to be able to go back to that. And I think that people have a fresh look on President Trump's term in office. And they're saying, man, I took it for granted the first time. A lot of people regretting their vote for Joe Biden in 2020. And there's a big opportunity. But President Trump understands it's not going to just happen on its own. You have to go out and earn it. He's willing to do it. And these people are waiting with open arms for him to show up.
Now, the only antidote to that on the other side is lawfare. You've been there. Give us an idea, your personal takeaways from the Trump trial.
It's sick. This really is a Soviet-style show trial. You look at the way that the judge is giving the jury instructions, where President Trump still does not know. It's crazy to me. They finished the case. They finished closing arguments. They're done with jury instructions. The jury is deliberating. In order to convict President Trump of a felony, the jury has to find an underlying charge was committed. And the judge is not only allowing this to be unidentified, but he's actually telling the jury that they can all come up with their own underlying charge. They don't even have to agree with each other. It doesn't even have to be unanimous. Now, what should happen is when you first charge somebody, you're telling that person exactly what they're being charged with. And when you go into a trial, that person's defense counsel has the ability to defend their client against those specified charges. And the fact that the only way that they can possibly convict President Trump is by making up an underlying charge that has not yet been specified and only have to all agree with each other on it, that is insane. And that's just part of the reason why so many Americans see this as a political prosecution. And even folks who don't even like President Trump are calling this out for what it is. And God bless them for doing it, because they care about something bigger than all that. And I think that the supporters of President Trump will support him more intensely because of this trial. And I think a whole lot of people will be thinking a little differently the next time Joe Biden is talking about threats against democracy.
Absolutely. Congressman, thank you. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia today.
You got it. Take care.
All right, Congressman Lee Zeldin, we're referencing, it was in a cornfield, I think, and you heard what he said. The guy was out just like Alvin Bragg in New York, releasing everybody. He's right. The main thing from the jury instructions today, you can find members of the jury. It doesn't have to be unanimous. You know, 12 Angry Men. Great film, by the way. Henry Fonda. I can go watch that right now. You can have four people say it was a tax violation. You can have four people say it was a state violation of election laws. You can have four say it was a federal. Or they might say anything else. As long as they all say something was the underlying, he's right, the underlying crime, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be unanimous on that. Now, right there, on appeal, that's going to be torn apart. But remember, it's not about that. And I see that people like Mark Levin really had something brilliant. But I hate to think we're at this point where Mark put up on Twitter from a friend of his who was very knowledgeable that Trump can seek a direct appeal to the Supreme Court depending on the Manhattan jury's decision. I still am maintaining, and one of the things I grabbed onto today is that the jurors, several of them, were taking a lot of notes. That's a good sign. You're not taking notes if you're solidly just going to go in there, I believe, get Trump, because that's what you're told to do, democracy, the judge, etc., saving democracy. If they're taking notes, if they're earnest in that, and there are a couple of lawyers on there, I still believe in the end you're going to have a hung jury. But this judge, I'll play it tomorrow. Again, did a national show last night, and I brought up the Allen charge, and this big-time lawyer, Dan, was stunned. How do you know about the Allen charge? You're right. It was a lot of fun. I'll play it tomorrow. The idea being that the judge will move heaven and earth to force those in the minority, which will be those that say it doesn't reach the standard, there's reasonable doubt, to come together and go along to find it some way to get with the majority. Because there's no way, I think, with this jury that President Trump is going to be acquitted. Doesn't have to be. It's all about one thing. Do we have a couple of people? At least one, and that would be ferocious what that person will face. Two or three on this jury that will say no. This is definitely reasonable doubt. This is not even close. If that happens and it's a hung jury, Trump can talk about taking one for the team, this persecution, and they can't lay on him. The only thing they want out of this, convicted criminal. It's going to be very interesting by Friday, when whatever happens, happens, or at least by the weekend, to see how America reacts. I can be persuaded, just as Lee Zeldin mentioned, there will be a lot of people, as they start to digest this, go, this is ridiculous.
Interesting scenario here presented by Dr. Truth on Twitter.
Yes.
What if the judge gives jury instruction that guarantees a guilty outcome, then Biden takes the stage and pardons Trump?
Yeah, right. No, he's just wanting to take a stage. They just want to say that magic thing because they believe, and I don't believe it's going to be suddenly, people listening now that are Trump supporters are going to abandon Trump. But I'm an incrementalist. And around the edges in a state like Pennsylvania, you might see a percentage point do that. And that could be telling. Will that be matched by those who say, this is just completely unfair? Justice jury instruction, you don't all have to agree on the underlying crime. That on the surface of it is ridiculous. By the way, the judge gets to enunciate the sentence. We're unclear. Would he immediately be sent to jail? The Secret Service preparing for that? That's a little bit doubtful. And this appeal to the Supreme Court would take a while. All they want is that brand, and Biden wants to be able to say it from the White House. That's what this is all about. Nothing else matters in this. They know these other cases are not going to impact the election. So Trump is on trial for his freedom, but also on trial for the presidency, potentially. And that's a great unknown. How are people going to react if there is a conviction on something here? Which I still am in the camp. I'm still sticking by it. That's not going to happen. And the longer this goes on, we get to like a Friday. And you know there's a real potential. Get to Friday of a hung jury. Dan, you had something else?
No, Biden's still speaking.
Okay.
And he just went a little crazy on coronavirus and talking about how Trump was the guy who told you to inject bleach and all that. If I had that audio, if you want to hear a little bit.
I'm waiting for the pitch of these poor kids about how America doesn't like them as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if those kids and their parents being kept out of school unnecessarily think that that may be a greater thing than whatever Trump may or may not have said there. All right, it is the lightning round next, though. Here's how you get in, 855-839-1210.
My extremist banned book. Did you ever think if anybody over 30 years old, you'd go through a period where banning books in America? They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history.
You know, this man, one thing you have to take, Dom Giordano's show, with the outrage of what he just told these kids there, mainly. So, Dan, we'll get David Hardy on tomorrow, and I ask him, does he have regrets when he has the president of the United States up there telling them that we want to get rid of black history, and he's not going to stand for any of this? You have to take into account, it's not just the dementia. He's always been this way. He's a mean, angry moron. You have to understand the level here. And I don't say that about every Democrat, Obama, Hillary, Bill Clinton, smart people, Pelosi, Biden, dopes. And somehow or another, accidentally, he's got to be prepped. Play it one more time, Dan, so it sinks in what we're up against with kids, second graders, kindergarten. Not going to let you leave black history.
It's within our power to do this.
Sorry, I had to cue it up. Here it is.
Yeah.
My extremist banned book. Did you ever think if anybody over 30 years old, you'd go through a period where banning books in America? They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history. It's American history.
Yeah. School kids, can you look in the mirror? Of course. Of course. Name some of the things we're erasing that are black history. All right, we'll have more on that tomorrow. Let me go.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Let's go to Gary in Newtown. And Gary, who's that person that's lovable?
Well, I'll say this first. I love Joe from Exxon's Answer, Dawn Stetland. She is really a nice lady to listen to in the morning. And within that mention of Joe, I believe that I'm going to be there on the 21st. I will extend a ride for Joe. to Cape May, and I believe there's another caller, Robert from Ben Salem. I don't want to volunteer him, for he might be going as well. So there might be a carpooling situation that might work for everybody.
Oh, yeah, set up a camera and record that.
Oh, yes, we need
some audio.
We need the sound of Joe as you're down the open road.
Taking a road trip with Joe and Robert. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yes.
Well, before we go there, I want a letter of intent from you guys on where we can publish and market it together. So,
oh, absolutely. Well, no, we'll play it. We have all rights to Joe of Exton's mind. Yes.
Yeah, you know, this format of you know, three episodes to build a character. I personally believe that in contrast or in complementary to Dan's taking one off the board for. Tom Hanks and I can't forget his name.
Forrest Gump.
Yes,
Forrest Gump. Thank you. Is Ted Lasso?
That's
Ted
a great
Lasso.
One.
Three seasons.
Yep.
Not saying one bad thing about anybody.
That is a great one. Let's go to Drew. And
if anyone wonders whether their vote matters, remember this: because Black America voted in 2020. Please have a seat if you can. Have a seat.
All right. The racial appeals will start with President Biden. Here on the other side, someone who's very accomplished, former congressman. You see him on Fox a lot. Heck of a race for governor in New York, which is really tough. Congressman Lee Zeldin joins us, former congressman on Talk Radio 1210. Congressman, welcome in. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, on you personally, you've been a big Trump surrogate, a heck of a race in New York with Kathy Hochul. I wish she had said what she said about the computer. But also, I mean, you were actually physically attacked during that.
Well, I'll tell you, she did say some loony things during the campaign, stuff like August of 2022, calling on Donald Trump and Lee Zeldin to get on a bus and move down to Florida. And it was a clear statement to Republicans, conservatives in the state that for challenging her, for disagreeing, that we're not welcome in New York. And there was stuff like that going on through the campaign. Nurses put out of a job for a personal decision not to get the COVID vaccine, talking down to people who, I believe the public service is about serving the public rather than being served by the public. And yet, to your point, we did during the campaign experience at a rally July of 22, while I was campaigning near Rochester, someone came on stage and had tried to attack me and disrupt the speech. And what was wild was the person who attacked me was actually immediately released on cashless bail within hours in the middle of the night, which is a whole other story. But, you know, listen, we gave it a good run. We came up just short. Fortunately, we're able to get 11 House Republicans elected in the state, 6 freshmen in districts that Biden won, and it's great not having to deal with a Speaker Pelosi or Speaker Jeffries right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what's going on in New York? I'm not sure if you were there in the South Bronx. I think that was the greatest Trump speech, not going back to 2022, but opportunity, his persona breaking through. The polling is clear with African-American and Latino voters. We're seeing that. So much so that President Biden and Harris are here in Philadelphia today at the same site, an historic black boarding school, Girard College. Your thoughts, their pitch is America is still discriminatory. What's your thought on it?
Well, I'll tell you, one thought is there's no way they're going to get the crowd and energy that President Trump got in the South Bronx. And what's wild is that in the South Bronx, Joe Biden easily won, crushed the campaign in 2020. Democrats do every election in the Bronx. Because of the voter registration, it's so overwhelmingly Democrat. This should be an area where things are reversed, that somebody like Joe Biden shows up and he's able to fill up a venue and get passion and supporters, not the other way around. But President Trump is, it's right. He's making the correct call to, instead of just speaking to an echo chamber of people who support you most passionately, the people who are most likely to attend your rally and volunteer and support you in different ways, speaking to longtime Democratic voters who are getting burned by Democratic policies, they're disenfranchised by the Democratic Party, and they want to try something new. And the fact is that when these people look back on 4 years of President Trump being in office and compare it to what life's been like under Joe Biden, they say, you know what? My life, I felt safer. I lived life freer. There was more prosperity. And I want to be able to go back to that. And I think that people have a fresh look on President Trump's term in office. And they're saying, man, I took it for granted the first time. A lot of people regretting their vote for Joe Biden in 2020, and there's a big opportunity. But President Trump understands it's not going to just happen on its own. You have to go out and earn it. He's willing to do it, and these people are waiting with open arms for him to show up.
Now, the only antidote to that on the other side is lawfare. You've been there. Give us an idea, your personal takeaways from the Trump trial.
It's sick. This really is a Soviet-style show trial. You look at the way that the judge is giving the jury instructions, where President Trump still does not know. It's crazy to me. They finished the case. They finished closing arguments. They're done with jury instructions. The jury is deliberating. In order to convict President Trump of a felony, the jury has to find an underlying charge was committed. And the judge is not only allowing this to be unidentified, but he's actually telling the jury that they can all come up with their own underlying charge. They don't even have to agree with each other. It doesn't even have to be unanimous. Now, what should happen is when you first charge somebody, you're telling that person exactly what they're being charged with. And when you go into a trial, that person's defense counsel has the ability to defend their client against those specified charges. And the fact that the only way that they can possibly convict President Trump is by making up an underlying charge that has not yet been specified and only have to all agree with each other on it, that is insane. And that's just part of the reason why so many Americans see this as a political prosecution, and even folks who don't even like President Trump are calling this out for what it is. And God bless them for doing it, because they care about something bigger than all that. And I think that the supporters of President Trump will support him more intensely because of this trial. And I think a whole lot of people will be thinking a little differently the next time Joe Biden is talking about threats against democracy.
Absolutely. Congressman, thank you. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia today.
You got it. Take care.
All right, Congressman Lee Zeldin, we're referencing, it was in a cornfield, I think, and you heard what he said. The guy was out just like Alvin Bragg in New York, releasing everybody. He's right. The main thing from the jury instructions today, you can find members of the jury. It doesn't have to be unanimous, you know, 12 Angry Men. Great film, by the way. Henry Fonda, I can go watch that right now. You can have four people say it was a tax violation. You can have four people say it was a state violation of election laws. You can have four say it was a federal. Or they might say anything else. As long as they all say something was the underlying, he's right, the underlying crime, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be unanimous on that. Now, right there on appeal, that's going to be torn apart. But remember, it's not about that. And I see that people like Mark Levin really had something brilliant, but I hate to think we're at this point where Mark put up on Twitter from a friend of his who was very knowledgeable that Trump can seek a direct appeal to the Supreme Court depending on the Manhattan jury's decision. I still am maintaining, and one of the things I grabbed onto today is that the jurors, several of them, were taking a lot of notes. That's a good sign. You're not taking notes if you're solidly just going to go in there, I believe, get Trump, because that's what you're told to do, democracy, the judge, et cetera, saving democracy. If they're taking notes, if they're earnest in that, and there are a couple of lawyers on there, I still believe in the end you're going to have a hung jury. But this judge, I'll play it tomorrow. Again, did a national show last night, and I brought up the Allen charge, and this big-time lawyer, Dan, was stunned. How do you know about the Allen charge? You're right. It was a lot of fun. I'll play it tomorrow. The idea being that the judge will move heaven and earth to force those in the minority, which will be those that say it doesn't reach the standard, there's reasonable doubt, to come together and go along to find it some way to get with the majority. Because there's no way, I think, with this jury that President Trump is going to be acquitted. Doesn't have to be. It's all about one thing. Do we have a couple of people, at least one, and that would be ferocious what that person will face, two or three on this jury that will say no. This is definitely reasonable doubt. This is not even close. If that happens and it's a hung jury, Trump can talk about taking one for the team, this persecution, and they can't lay on him. The only thing they want out of this, convicted criminal. It's going to be very interesting by Friday, when whatever happens, happens, or at least by the weekend, to see how America reacts. I can be persuaded, just as Lee Zeldin mentioned, there will be a lot of people, as they start to digest this, go, this is ridiculous.
Interesting scenario here presented by Dr. Truth on Twitter.
Yes.
What if the judge gives jury instruction that guarantees a guilty outcome, then Biden takes the stage and pardons Trump?
Yeah, right. No, he's just wanting to take a stage. They just want to say that magic thing because they believe, and I don't believe it's going to be suddenly people listening now that are Trump supporters are going to abandon Trump. But I'm an incrementalist, and around the edges in a state like Pennsylvania, you might see a percentage point do that. And that could be telling. Will that be matched by those who say, this is just completely unfair? Just this jury instruction, you don't all have to agree on the underlying crime. That on the surface of it is ridiculous. By the way, the judge gets to enunciate the sentence. We're unclear. Would he immediately be sent to jail? The Secret Service preparing for that? That's a little bit doubtful. And this appeal to the Supreme Court would take a while. All they want is that brand, and Biden wants to be able to say it from the White House. That's what this is all about. Nothing else matters in this. They know these other cases are not going to impact the election. So Trump is on trial for his freedom, but also on trial for the presidency, potentially. And that's a great unknown. How are people going to react if there is a conviction on something here? Which I still am in the camp. I'm still sticking by it. That's not going to happen. And the longer this goes on, we get to like a Friday. And you know there's a real potential. Get to Friday of a hung jury. Dan, you had something else?
No, Biden's still speaking.
Okay.
And he just went a little crazy on coronavirus and talking about how Trump was the guy who told you to inject bleach and all that. I have that audio if you want to hear a little bit.
Yeah, still with I'm waiting for the pitch of these poor kids about how America doesn't like them as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if those kids and their parents being kept out of school unnecessarily think that may be a greater thing than whatever Trump may or may not have said there. All right, it is the lightning round next, though. Here's how you get in, 855-839-1210.
My extremist banned book. Did you ever think if anybody over 30 years old, you'd go through a period where banning books in America? They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history.
You know, this man, one thing you have to take, Dom Giordano's show, with the outrage, what he just told these kids there mainly. So, Dan, we'll get David Hardy on tomorrow, and I'll ask him, does he have regrets when he has the president of the United States up there telling them that we want to get rid of black history, and he's not going to stand for any of this? You have to take into account, it's not just the dementia. He's always been this way. He's a mean, angry moron. You have to understand the level here. And I don't say that about every Democrat, Obama, Hillary, Bill Clinton, smart people, Pelosi, Biden, dopes. And somehow or another, accidentally, he's got to be prepped. Wait one more time, Dan, so it sinks in what we're up against with kids, second graders, kindergarten, not going to let you leave black history.
It's within our power to do this.
Sorry, I had to cue it up. Here it is.
Yeah.
My extremist banned book. Did you ever think if anybody over 30 years old, you'd go through a period where banning books in America? They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history. It's American history.
Yeah. School kids, can you look in the mirror? Of course. Of course. Name some of the things we're erasing that are Black history. All right, we'll have more on that tomorrow. Let me go.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Let's go to Gary in Newtown. And Gary, who's that person that's lovable?
Well, I'll say this. First, I love Joe from X's Answer, Dawn Stedlin. She is really a nice lady to listen to in the morning. And within that mention of Joe, I believe that I'm going to be there on the 21st. I will extend a ride for Joe to Cape May. And I believe there's another caller, Robert from Bensalem. I don't want to volunteer him for him. He might be going as well. So there might be a carpooling situation that might work for everybody.
Yeah, instead of a camera and record that.
Oh, yes. We need
some audio.
We need the sound of Joe as you're down the open road.
Road trip with Joe and Robert.
Oh,
that sounds
God.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, before we go there, I want a letter of intent from you guys on where we can publish and market it together. So,
oh, absolutely. Well, no, we'll play it. We have all rights to Joe of Exton's mind. Yes.
Wait. this format of three episodes to build a character. I personally believe that in contrast or in complementary to Deanne's taking one off the board for. Tom Hanks and I can't forget his name.
Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Forrest Gump, thank you. Is Ted Lasso.
That's
Ted
a great
Lasso.
One.
Three seasons.
Yep.
Not saying one bad thing about anybody.
That is a great one. Let's go to Drew in Upper Darby. Hey, Drew, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, thank you very much. You know, Dom, this guy is such a good, patriotic, lovable guy that when he won the Olympic gold medal in 1968 for heavyweight boxing, he got the American flag and he bowed four times around the ring. He really loves the country and he's a good man. It's George Foreman. And remember, he did that during all that racial strife of the 60s.
Great stuff. Came up a rough way. Frightening figure in his time, but lovable. Second career, Foreman Grill. That's big. Michael in the Northeast. Hey, Michael, who's yours?
Oh, Dom and Dan, he's not that bad. Biden is only doing his best. That would be Edith Bunker.
Nice job
not
there.
Bad,
nice job. Edith, not bad at all. Very nice.
Wow. Wasn't expecting the impression.
You know, the thing with Edith that's great, when she's kind of running in place with Archie to get something. Now, the run, you're not really running and taking strides. You're running up and down fast when she would shuffle and do that. Yeah. The Earl of Tacony. Earl, who's yours?
I didn't realize Biden was going to be in town today, so I saw the three black helicopter gunships come out of Northeast Airport. So that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with the name that I use to name my cat because they look similar. Gizmo the Gremlin.
Gotcha. All right, it's time to convene and pick a winner in a tough field here today, Dan.
I really like the local tie to the 1210 with Dawn Stenson.
Yes, that's a great one.
I like George Foreman was a good answer, but Edith Bunker with the impression, too. And Ashley Epstein, the first one.
Yeah.
The,
right.
Some good ones here.
Oh, you know, I got to go. I'm going to go with the Ashley Epstein.
Yeah.
That was a magnificent packed into that. That deserves
small-time actress, but highlighting the Comic-Con sense of just being able to navigate with fans and talk
to
fans.
The guy hit so many points. Great stuff. Great stuff. By the way, the mayor of Margate doing the right thing. Another date night for the Kelseys on them in Margate because of that nonsense with the harasser. So it wasn't Seattle, it was Margate. All right, Rich Cioli's next to take you through these tumultuous times on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.